flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shiloh Sanders is talking at the East-West Shrine Bowl. I've seen Shador as well as going and meeting with the Tennessee Titans right now. But Shiloh Sanders from our buddy Pat Doney is his dad, Deion, going to take the Dallas Cowboys coaching job. Quote, I think he's going to stay at Colorado. It's not really a big speculation. We already knew he was staying in Colorado. It would be a surprise if he coached somewhere else. But I don't think that would even happen. It is the G-Bag Nation here on your home of Dallas Cowboys football and the 2023 World Series champion Texas Rangers. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius Alexander, and Carter Freeman controlling your video. Gavin Dawson out today. That one is definitely helping to trend into the positive momentum that is the shoddy thing. Almost done. As Sean Sharif has reported, Brian Schottenheimer putting his staff together at the Star. Not sure how many that would include of former Cowboys staff members from the Mike McCarthy regime, whom he was coaching with. We'll see. Robert Prince, according to Clarence Hill, wide receivers coach, is interviewing with Miami for the same position over there. So as more coaching news comes around, we will give that to you. I did see Diana Rossini on her Scoop City podcast with former South Lake Carroll Dragon Chase Daniel, said the Dallas Cowboys were also interested in Mike Vrabel. A lot of people don't know that, said Diana. Guess who knew that? Robert Kraft knew that. Robert Kraft knew the Jones family had an interest in Mike Vrabel. I just wish the Cowboys had have acted on it if they were interested, and then maybe you never know. But they were probably put behind the eight ball because they were talking with McCarthy. That didn't end up working out. Maybe they weren't expecting Mike to say thank you, but no thank you. And then they're kind of left scrambling. But it's just one of those things, man, where I can't get the vision of late 1989 Jerry Jones just had that that look in his eye, like hunger, ready to win. We must win. We will win. Win is the name of the game. And this hire just leaves you wanting more, and I kind of want that riverboat gambler back right now, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. 8-3-2, I feel deflated with the shoddy hire. I want to jump ship, but I never have, even in the Campo years. And you know I'm right there with you, 8-3-2. I'll never jump ship on the Dallas Cowboys. I love them too much. It's not a choice for me. I can't just do that. I'll never do that. But I get being very, very deflated, and all you can really do is hope for the best. And we're all wrong. We are all wrong. And Brian Schottenheimer ends up being a badass and is the right person to do this. But my gosh, it sure does feel like a comfortability hire and one that's not really moving the needle one way or another to me.
No, not at all. Not at all. It is definitely unfortunate, but this is the state of the Cowboys right now. If they are going to have a solid quarterback or a solid coach, they are going to sort of luck into it. They did it with Romo. They've done it with Dak, and that's going to be the same deal with the head coach. They don't prioritize it. They don't look at it as a position of high importance, and. This is what you get when that happens. You're not going to be able to get the top candidates. They don't even want the top candidates, and the top candidates don't want them because they understand the dynamic. And even Mike McCarthy's walking away from it. Kellen Moore, I believe, to some extent, walking away from it. So this is what you're left with, and you just have to cross your fingers that they strike gold.
Yeah, you think after 30 years of not a conference championship appearance, you'd like maybe reassess, hey, what do we value the coach? But I guess that's something that won't ever happen here in Dallas. But let's talk the draft. I know, Brian, you've said, look, they're not going to take this coaching thing seriously. Let's just focus on the draft, shall we? So we got ourselves a big board report. New running back in the draft. We were expecting it, but officially today, Quinshon Judkins, running back from Ohio State, has declared. Think you could possibly get him in the third round. Maybe he ends up crushing it at the combine with his workouts. I know Mel Kiper thinks he could be a top 50 pick. He's got him as his fifth running back overall. I like his teammate a little bit more because of the speed factor, Travion Henderson, than Judkins. But, hey, Quinshon Judkins is definitely a better version of a Rico Dowdle, in my opinion. Really good out of the backfield as well. You saw what he was able to do in the college football playoff. And his tape at Ole Miss, my gosh, he was absolutely brilliant there. If you watched him against LSU a couple of years ago, he was brilliant in that game as well. So Quinshon Judkins, another running back to start to look at in this class. But what do you feel about doing a little mocky draft here, Brian Broaddus?
Go ahead, man. Love it.
Let's do it. Okay, so this is Chris Trapasso. I know Bobby, not a fan of Chris Trapasso, but he has a fun one because it involves some trades and it creates an interesting situation for the Cowboys. He's got the 80s. With Pete Carroll now needing a quarterback, they're moving up to number one with the Titans. Now, I did say, hey, Titans right now at the Shrine Bowl, they're meeting with Shador Sanders. So they are going to go ahead and do their due diligence. Here's Shador going number one in a mock trade, and the Titans then slide back to six. A trade that works out for both sides. Titans then, as they move back, still get Abdul Carter, who they might be looking at one in this scenario. So Shador goes one. At six, Abdul Carter goes to the Titans. Major need. Raiders will also give up their first-round pick in the next two drafts and a second-rounder this year. So they're giving up one and two this year, and then a first-rounder in 2026 and 2027 to Tennessee to go up from six to one to make that trade happen. Worth it?
That they gave up one too many ones.
One too many ones. Yeah. Especially for a quarterback that I think some teams are probably going to have a second round grade on and not a one.
Sure. I mean, it doesn't matter what other teams have. It matters what your team has.
Yeah, if they love the guy, you go get him.
Yeah,
100%.
Don't ever, people put together boards all the time and they're like, that's a little rich for me.
But it ends up being wrong.
No, it might be a little rich for you, but to them, they went and got their guy.
It's like Mike Green. Yeah. People will say 12's too rich for Mike Green. I'm like, hell no, it's not.
You have absolutely no problem taking Mike Green at 12.
I'd take him at 12.
Yeah. Who's he?
Mike Green is an edge rusher from Marshall.
It started off at Virginia.
Yes. Yeah. 6'4", super long. I think he's the second best pass rusher to Abdul Carter in the draft, but he can also defend the run. I mean, he will wreak havoc in the backfield. I think he's got a little bit of DeMarcus Ware to his game. The way he's bendy, the quick twitch, fires off the ball. I really love him. I think the frame is one he could actually pack on a little bit more.
Oh, he's a good-looking guy.
I'm a big fan of Mike
Green. 248, something like that. I mean, yes. When you start to talk about, like, he doesn't look like a small guy playing football. He's got some stoutness to him in the way he plays.
That's music to my ears, dude. Getting a premium position like that at 12, that would make so much sense to me. So I'm glad there's a guy there that fits that. And in regards to the trade for Shador, if the Raiders are going to trade up and do that, I think the Titans, it's a no-brainer. If you're not going to take a quarterback, you should absolutely trade down. I understand Hunter, Abdul, those guys are beasts.
Oh, this would be a huge win for the Titans.
But the Titans, if you're not taking a quarterback at one, you got to trade down.
Okay, so Sanders goes one. Cam Ward goes two to the Browns. I did actually report today that the Browns would maybe look into taking Shador Sanders at two, even if Deion Sanders doesn't approve of it. So they might very well be in the market for a quarterback. And then three, Jalen Milroe goes to the Giants. So you have quarterbacks going one, two, three. Travis Hunter.
Jalen Milroe?
Yeah, Jalen Milroe. Jalen Milroe. Who he might. Some teams might have him as the third best quarterback. And I don't. I mean, this is way too high for me.
I got him as a top five running back on my
board. Yeah, I know you do. He might end up being a Josh Allen. Who knows for you? Like, that ends up being a bad take, but I don't know. I'm with you. I wouldn't be taking Jalen Milroe in the first round, but we've seen quarterbacks get pushed up the board like this.
Would be an all-time push-up.
It would be, but E.J. Manuel went in the first round. I'll never forget that. That dude's done.
Christian Ponder.
Travis Hunter goes four to the Patriots. Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, five to the Jags. I mentioned Carter. You're iffy on a Will Johnson, I know. Mm-hmm. Will Campbell, offensive tackle LSU, goes to the Jets at seven. So there's, hey, if you want an offensive lineman, Cowboys, you don't get him. Tet McMillan, best receiver in the draft for me, goes eight. Out of Arizona to the Panthers, Luther Burden, who's getting mocked to the Cowboys a lot. Wide receiver out of Mizzou goes nine, so he's off the board. You can't get him. Ashton Jeanty, running back of the Boise State Broncos, goes to the Bears because he had a flippy-floppy there after a projected trade. So the Bears there, they end up taking Ashton Jeanty at 10. James Pierce Jr., the edge from Tennessee, goes 11 to the San Francisco 49ers, which puts the Cowboys on the clock at 12. There's no Ashton Jeanty. The top two receivers, arguably, off the board for me. My number two guy is still there in Emeka Igbuka.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Walker, edge from the from Georgia, still there. Mason Graham, defensive tackle from Michigan, along with Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle from Michigan, still there. And Mike Green would still be there, and so is Kelvin Banks Jr., the offensive tackle from Texas. This mock has the Cowboys going Tyler Warren, tight end out of Penn State. I like Tyler Warren way more than you do.
No, I you know what?
I don't hate the play.
I watched him in the playoffs, and I absolutely see what you see.
He's
with the
incredible.
Player. He's a very good player.
But this to me would not be my pick at 12 for the Cowboys. I would absolutely take Emeka Igbuka. I think he would be a great fit. I would absolutely take Mason Graham, which is going to make Cowboy fans go crazy.
I would take Mason Graham over Igbuka myself.
Graham is going to probably end best, up being a top five player.
He's the best defensive tackle in the draft by far.
Easy.
By far. And he can play three. He can play one. It doesn't matter with him. People have talked to me about he's like a power three. You know, just put him in there. Let 320 pounds. Let him just wreck shop that way. I was asking some NFL scouts about him, and I'm saying, hey, listen, is this guy a one or a three? Because you're going to have to probably replace Oso Digizuwa.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, all of a sudden, yeah, you know, and if you can get, you get your guy, you know, your other Michigan guy, Mozzie Smith, playing a little better at the one, you know, some positivity out of that. And then you put Mason Graham at the three. You've got some stoutness inside
that
way.
Beef in the middle.
Yeah, I got some.
You do. That's
going
to be hard to move you off the ball.
Exactly. So to me, that's, you know, I can say that all of it is predicated on Mozzie Smith improving, and he has to a point. But you can't. I would take Mason Graham over Igbuka in this situation. And then at 44, I'll turn around and draft Williams from TCU or Besh from TCU or Trey Harris, one of those guys from Ole Miss. Yeah, Iamanure from Stanford would be a guy.
Yeah, the Stanford kid interests me there, especially if you want to get an X, like with his size.
Yeah, like the discussion we had yesterday on the draft show was about finding somebody opposite you could play with Lamb, and you would maybe go for a guy that's a more X.
Has more size to his game.
Williams?
Savion Williams, Iamanure, 6'4".
Besh? These guys are all big dudes. You know, so yeah, go for it. You could wait even to like into. I don't know where Higgins from Iowa State's going to fall in there. I looked at the kid Royals from Utah State.
Yeah, Royals is a big yak guy.
Yeah, I mean
big yak guy.
So there's some clearly some options that you do not have to take. You know, you do not have to take Igbuka.
No, this
12.
Would be one where, like, hey, you've got a player who could go top five and he falls into your lap at 12. The problem is, Cowboy fans are going to be scared about scouting the helmet here and not the player.
Don't.
And it's the Michigan defensive tackle or just Michigan defensive lineman, and it's going to be PTSD. Why the hell are you doing this?
Listen, do yourself a favor, and this is an easy way to do this, okay? Everybody has YouTube, right? It's not highlights. Go watch, you know, there's games you can watch. What's the guy, the barrel roll, right?
Do a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll.
He does an excellent job.
He breaks down all the games for you and gives it to you, tight copy stuff. You could go and watch him play. You could go watch these Michigan guys play. You can watch him play Texas. You can watch him play Ohio State. You can watch him play. It's not highlights. It's like actual play-to-play-to-play-to-play film that you can watch or, you know, copy of the game, and you can learn a lot about watching these kids, you know, and you can say, wow, this guy does get off the ball. Wow, this guy does make plays. Wow, this guy does stack blockers. Wow, this guy does get off block.
He's quick. I mean, they get off with him, and he
strong?
Can rush the passer. Yeah. My only concern with Mason Graham is he maxed out? He's such a good player right now. How much better can he get?
I'll tell you what, if he plays at this level and just plays at this level,
still going to be a good player.
Still be, I mean, he is legitimately a top five player on this
team. He is. I don't think he's going to be around at 12, but if he is here, the Cowboys got themselves.
Who took Ginty, by the way?
Bears.
Okay.
That's going to be a real conversation now with Ben Johnson. Yeah. You know, because he came from a team that at 12, they took Jahmyr Gibbs. They didn't give a damn. And they took linebacker Jack Campbell in that draft. People are saying don't draft running backs and linebackers. They didn't care. They took their guys. So maybe Ben Johnson does take Ashton Ginty, and then he's not even in the conversation there for the Cowboys at 12. All right, let's talk with Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Get the latest on the Cowboys coaching search, everything he's hearing. And, of course, he's going to be covering the Shrine Bowl as well. We'll talk more draft with Nick Harris. That's next here on 105.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The fan.
Nick Harris covers the Cowboys for the Star-Telegram, and he's set to join us here in the G-Bag Nation on a football Friday. We'll get you the Woolly Billy Top 10 list of the day coming up here in a few minutes. Segment brought to you by Cards for Kids. Donate today, cardsforkids.org. Also brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And now, courtesy of the D&M Leasing Hotline, we welcome in Nick Harris of the Star-Telegram. Nick, happy Friday to you, my friend. I'm sure you've just been just working your tail off. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen the reporting. Proof's in the pudding. What's the hottest, latest thing you got for us right now?
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. It's definitely been a long week. I think the fatigue is starting to settle in with just about everybody, not only reporters, but people even in the building. The latest is that there's not really any latest. It's just kind of a holding period. They have all the chips in front of them. It's just basically on how they want to deal them. They know what Brian Schottenheimer brings to the table. He's the leading candidate by far at this point, but the longer this drags on, the more you start to question that.
Nick, what are really the selling points for a Brian Schottenheimer for a fan base that seems very underwhelmed by that hire?
I don't necessarily have a selling point for the fan base. I probably wouldn't be the one to speak on that, but I think the idea is that it brings offensive consistency from the past couple of years, but it's the consistent points that, you know, some offensive personnel feel could actually translate into more success than they had in 2024. Now, granted, Mike McCarthy had a heavy influence on these last couple of years. He was the main play caller. He was the one that built the offense. This would be more of an idea of Brian Schottenheimer and Dak Prescott taking the pieces from those offenses and kind of building their own structure and what that would look like in 2025. You know, there's a lot of player support for Brian Schottenheimer. He is a player's coach. He's very, when it comes to culture building, I think this is probably going to be a really strong hire from that perspective. But I think the question that everybody would have to ask is, okay, he's been a coordinator this long. He's been an assistant in the league this long, over 20 years. Why hasn't the head coach opportunity come? And, you know, I'm sure that's what the 2 days of interviews were for, were to, you know, evaluate Schottenheimer in that sense and maybe come to an answer to that question and then try to ask, okay, is he ready for that opportunity now with the pieces that are in place? And as it seems, there's enough support in the front office, in the building, to where it seems likely that Schottenheimer will be the head coach. It's just a matter of when at this point. I think you guys are probably as surprised as I am that it hasn't happened yet.
Nick, a really fine job of all the things. And, you know, I mean, listen, it takes some courage to stand out there and say, hey, this is what I'm hearing, and go with it the way you have. And like I said, be honest with you, I was cheering for you, man. I really, really was. I hope it's still your fine reporter. You really are. I wanted to ask you, though, if this thing does go longer, and I'm asking you just to speculate, if it does go longer, could we see Deion Sanders come back into the picture here?
Yeah, Deion's an interesting one. I actually spoke with somebody in Boulder today just to kind of gauge the temperature there. That person actually called me and was asking me for the latest. And I was like, I don't have anything for you. I was hoping you did. Yeah. So I think there's some questions from, I think, parents of players in Boulder of, hey, we would love if Deion came out and said, I am not taking the Dallas Cowboys job. Yeah. But I think it would still be a major surprise to all of us that have been on this coaching search and, you know, getting into the nitty gritty if Deion becomes a major contender out of nowhere. Now, granted, his sons, Shador and Shiloh, they are already in Dallas interviewing with teams for the Shrine Bowl for this next week. It's not immediately apparent if Deion will be in attendance for any of the practices or even the game next Thursday. But you would have to think that there could be an opportunity to speak with Deion if it drags out that long and he actually does end up coming for the game or for one of the practices this week. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I think it would be interesting timing-wise if we're still, you know, we get to Tuesday, Wednesday, there's still no news, and maybe Deion makes an appearance in DFW. I think that's when we start to check the temperature on those things. But as of right now, I would say the temperature is still cool.
Nick Harris, Forward Star Telegram, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Another one could they circle back to would be Mike McCarthy. Yeah. And I know that seems crazy. Brian brought this up yesterday, but then you had Ed Werder, who also went ahead and tweeted, I wonder if there's ever, you know, a possibility of re-engaging discussions, extending their partnership rather than either making a change. And you actually brought up the Greg Berhalter situation with U.S. Soccer. I mean, is that too crazy to think of? Like, maybe you do circle back and have a talk with Mike McCarthy if the Saints gig doesn't happen for him?
Man, at this point, I couldn't tell you, Zach. I think with the Saints gig, though, you look at it and you see the guys that they have brought in for second interviews. It doesn't necessarily see that McCarthy is deep in the mix there, and obviously that's the only other opening at this juncture. You would have to wonder, okay, how bad did they leave? How bad did they leave each other last Monday? And I don't think anyone really knows the answer to that question. You know, it was a situation where they talked for many, many days. Mm-hmm. There's still respect between those two guys. And I think they showed that in the way that they did split ways because, you know, you look at the statement that Jerry Jones put out and saying that, you know, they had a lot of respect for McCarthy and they continued to support him all the way up through the end of the season when, you know, at a certain point in the year, we were all riding him off. I think there's enough respect there to, you know, if a phone call was made, this is just me theorizing, that if a phone call was made to answer, but I can't put myself into that thinking at this point with all the Schottenheimer schemes.
Well, what if I told you this, Nick, that I knew that if in fact that the Joneses were to make a better offer, then you would probably get consideration of maybe being reunited. I think the offer turned these guys off. What if the Joneses said, okay, listen, instead of the two-year deal, we'll give you the three. This is probably shot. I mean, we're just talking right now. We're doing radio. But I think they walked away with a lack of respect is where I think McCarthy's camp is here.
Yeah, because there wasn't a whole lot of clarity towards the end there, you know, and I think maybe more clarity and a little bit more of a compromise from both sides would be able to mend those fences, but that's something that they would both have to be willing to cross. And you know, I can't factor in egos or anything like that because I don't necessarily know the egos of those people behind closed doors. But what I can say is it would definitely have to be some compromise between both sides based on how they did leave things last Monday, but. Again, all theorizing and going back to the Greg Berhalter U.S. soccer situation, it took them 3-4 months before they came back to sit down together. So maybe after draft, we could start talking about McCarthy coming back.
There we go. I like it. All right, Nick Harris with us here on The Fan. If it ends up being Schottenheimer as the head coach, who do you think has been the loudest voice other than the players, Dak, whatever? Who in the front office do you think has been the loudest voice for him? Would this be Jerry winning or would this be Steven and company?
Yeah, I don't think necessarily a loud voice per se. It's just more so the support that he's had from players has definitely been something that they've valued a lot. Now, there is a feeling that, you know, there is a lot of support from the front office into Schottenheimer, whether that be Stephen Jones or some other executives. And, you know, this decision is ultimately in the hands of Jerry and where he decides to take it from here. But there is enough support in that front office to make the hire as soon as now. It's just a matter of when.
I wonder, in your thoughts, I don't know if you have any inside information on this, Nick, and even if you have maybe just something to throw out there, but what would the staff possibly look like? Like, who maybe could come back from the previous regime? Lunda Wells, I know Al Harris, we haven't heard anything about. I think Robert Prince is interviewing for the receivers coaching job in Miami.
He just got it.
Okay, so he just got it. Boom, there you go. Any ideas of what a Schottenheimer staff could potentially look like if he gets the job?
Yeah, I'm starting with the pieces that I know they will have to replace, and the special teams unit is almost going to have a complete overhaul. John Fossil taking a lot of his guys to Tennessee after taking the Titans special teams job. So that's going to be a big overhaul as far as looking outside the box for guys. As far as inside the box, I know there's a lot of support for Lunda Wells. He was the tight ends coach these past few years. Players love him. They like what they've gotten out of Lunda Wells. He's been an offensive line coach in his past career. You would almost wonder if Jason Witten becomes a reality for tight ends coach. Do they move Lunda Wells over to offensive line? Do they maybe move into an inside receivers role? How does that exactly look for a guy like that? I think on the defensive side of the ball, we talked about a couple of guys. I believe it was on the show last week talking about defensive line coach Jeff Scanina and then assistant defensive line coach Greg Ellis. Both of those guys, they felt like they got a lot out of last year, even despite the injuries that they had suffered up front, especially in the pass rush department around the ends, which was Greg Ellis's department. And then the improvement that they got from not only Mozzie Smith, but Osa Odighizuwa as well, which is more Scanina's expertise right there in the interior. He was an interior defensive lineman for 15 years in the league. I think in the secondary, Al Harris, I'm not expecting to be back on the staff at this juncture. If you're looking for a potential replacement in the secondary, you can look at a couple of guys that are already on staff. Cannon Matthews, who elevated into a position coach role last year behind Al Harris. You can probably look at him to make another elevation there. And then a guy also, a young staffer that this front office has enjoyed, that the players have enjoyed, is Christian Garcia. I think that's another guy that could into the secondary coaching unit. But there's still a lot to shake out, guys. And first off, they have to make this head coaching hire. But if they are already building a staff behind the scenes, as your guys, as Sean Sharif reported earlier, then I would have to assume it starts with those couple of names.
Old Scoops Sharif, man, been in his bag this week. What about the Witten stuff? What do you think he comes into play here?
Yeah, that one's fascinating because a lot of buzz around there has been kept quiet now over the course of the past week, and we don't know if that's because there's not any legs to it or if it's because they want to keep it quiet, but we'll see as time goes on. That's going to be one I am I'll just say I'll be keeping a close eye on that. How about that?
I love it, as will we. Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, you're a beast. We appreciate the time, man. Have a great weekend.
I appreciate it, fellas. Thank you for everything. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, yes, sir. Risky. Absolutely. D&M Leasing Hotline. There he goes. All right. Football's finest top of the hour. Wooly Bully, top 10 list of the days coming up next. Where are we headed?
Happy National Peanut Butter Day. Mm. What are the top 10 ways to eat peanut butter? And give me the best conference championship game of all time in your opinion. 877-881-1053. That's next. I am so sorry if you have a peanut allergy, because this day is not for you, as it is National Peanut Butter Day. Give me your favorite way to eat peanut butter. 877-881-1053. The number to text in on this one. I also want to know, in honor of Conference Championship Sunday, what do you think's the best conference championship game of all time? I thought about doing a top 10 championship list. However, much like last week when I did the divisional round list, number one was heartbreaking, and it was indeed the Catch. So I don't want to go through all that again. No. So let's just talk peanut butter, shall we? Before we get to that, though, I did tease this earlier.
1996.
That was your favorite one?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Green Bay Packers hosting the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
At Lambeau Field. Air temperature was like about 13 degrees below zero. And it was one of the most glorious days. Honestly, winning that championship at Lambeau Field was better than winning the Super Bowl 2 weeks later in New Orleans.
On the frozen tundra of Green Bay.
Yeah.
I've heard
the meat packers. Yeah. Light up. Yeah.
I can't tell
That's
you.
That's pretty good, Lucius. That's pretty good. A guy, Ray Scott. That's Ray Scott.
Ray Scott.
Don't gas me, bro. Don't gas me. That was awful.
Ray Scott. No. If you go back,
Have me out here thinking I'm doing something good.
No, no. If you go back,
you keep doing that.
Yeah, you are the impression king. Killing it, bro.
You go back and listen to Ray Scott back in the day. I'll pull clips from YouTube.
It was good.
That's it. That's how he sounded.
Well, my grandfather would say the same thing because he got to go to the Rose Bowl, Super Bowl in Pasadena, 52-17.
Sure.
But he was a season ticket holder, so he got to watch two of the NFC championships, the one over your Green Bay Packers and the second one over the 49ers. And he did say those NFC championship wins at Texas Stadium were better than that Super Bowl.
Well, you know what? How about this? The Bills-Chiefs game, as you say, might be the Super Bowl. That might be the best game. You know, that might be better than whoever matches up with the winner out of the AFC. Yeah, so.
It could be.
Those championship games mean a lot because, you know, you don't want to lose a Super Bowl, but getting there, man, is just so hard.
I would say that second one, though, always resonates with, like, everything that went along with that for the Cowboys in 93, which I guess was played, like, January of 94, technically.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the Jimmy Johnson, we will win the ball game. And then, I mean, they drew Jerry Rice offsides. Like, they were fighting pregame of that at Texas Stadium. Like, that was for all. And you knew that was the Super Bowl. You knew, like, no disrespect to the Bills, but the winner of that game was going to win it all. And the year before was amazing because the Cowboys were like the Rangers were. Like, you're a little too early to the party here. Nobody thought they'd win it. And you're winning it in the mud, and you got Emmett running for a touchdown. And then was it Kelvin Martin caught the last touchdown that he just barely was able to dive over the goal line? Mm-hmm. I mean, those championships were, and I own them, you know, on DVD. I know some kids are like, what the hell is a DVD? So I'm able to go back and watch them at any time, and I've done it. But you got Madden and Summerall on the calls. Like, those are just legendary, absolutely legendary. Okay, top 10 ways to eat peanut butter. I did want to pay off on the tease of Deion Dawkins here real quick. Bills offensive lineman who has had an unbelievable season. He's one of the best in all football, but he believes that we need a lineman award. Here you go, Deion. Take it away.
Thing for an individual that is a part of this league to be able to get an award for being great. And I'll circle back on, you know, offensive linemen don't have awards for being great. You know, there's not a Protector of the Year award. I'm knocking at so many doors now to get this award going. And I'm going to head spirit and make sure that this gets done before I'm done playing. Because there's so many greats. And if we have great quarterbacks, we have great running backs, we have rushing titles, we have quarterback passing titles, all those titles are reflections of the old linemen, which are the Protectors. And soon to come, but yeah, I'm glad that our McDermott is up for an award.
Preach.
All-time background noise going on there. I don't know if that's like a bunch of heavy AC.
Is
he outside?
He was at the press conference. He was standing at the podium there. But
I love it's
a great idea.
The Protector of the Year.
We need it. Because you're right. I mean, the game's won at the line of scrimmage, and a lot of the best defensive linemen can win Defensive Player of the Year, but the offensive lineman's not going to win Offensive Player of the Year.
I kind of feel like, to me, this is what college football does. They have the Joe Moore Award, which is given to the best offensive line in the country. Give it to five guys.
Oh, okay.
You know, instead of individually, this team was the best run blocking, best pass blocking. You know, we all keep statistics now. Let's keep them, you know. But here you got Buffalo's played 80% of the snaps together, or, you know, the games together. You know, are they one of the best lines? But go and take the grades. Grade the five best grade the offensive lines around the league and see which one has the best one and have an award for
Give
that.
Give them some love, man. Yeah. They deserve it. Yeah. They really, really do. All right, let's get to the top 10 ways to eat peanut butter. None of us have a peanut allergy. We do all love our peanut butter, right?
Yes.
Cashew chicken is like one of my favorite.
Okay, that's
ever.
A great way. Like, so that'll be on here.
Like cashew chicken
like
will
the
be?
Thai, like, yeah, that's, well, no, not cashew chicken specifically, but like a great way to have peanut butter, I think, in Thai dishes, like pad Thai.
Oh, pad Thai, yeah.
You've got like spring rolls. that are used with like the rice wrap on the outside. Mm-hmm. They're clear, and you can dip them in like peanut sauce, chicken satay. Yeah. You know, you dip it in the peanut sauce. That's always delicious. I think that's a phenomenal way to do it. Lucius, your favorite ways to consume peanut butter?
Peanut butter in a smoothie?
Yes, dude.
Yeah. Peanut smoothie.
That's the jam.
It really becomes a peanut butter smoothie at that point. It really does. What else you got in there.
It just overpowers
everything. But if you love peanut butter, I find it to just be outstanding.
Can I ask you guys a question to do that? How do you keep your straw from getting clogged?
You have to have the right ingredients in terms of just like from a proportion standpoint.
So it can't be too thick?
No, it cannot be.
Can't be too thick.
But it should be thick, but not too thick.
See, because I always have problems.
Those are really words to live by.
I always have problems with like you're talking about. Yeah, I my straw just gets destroyed, and I can't make it work.
Yeah, you have to overdo it with the water
boba tea
or the
straws.
Milk.
Those round, those are the best straws ever, man.
I can't do the boba tea.
But not the boba tea, the straw is good,
though. But just the straw. No, I know. The straws are fantastic, but like you get the little bubbles. There's something about, I think maybe it's a texture issue. It's just like, oh, no, I am not into this. And people swear by boba tea.
But when you get a shake or smoothie that's too thick, you can always just pour a little bit more of whatever the base is. If it's milk or if it's water.
You guys never have a problem with a Blizzard? Like you're getting like Oreo parts knocked up in there and stuff
like that?
Yeah,
you might have to spoon that thing.
Oh, I spoon the Blizzard.
Do you?
Yeah.
Lucius, do you spoon a Blizzard?
Only because he can't fork it.
You spoon a Blizzard? You spoon?
I put my mouth all the way around it like Tiana Trump.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. All right.
Or else it'll just start melting.
Big vein comes out my forehead. I'm sucking so damn hard.
That's very graphic, but I know what you're talking about.
That's my guy.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it.
It is one of the more disappointing feelings in the world when you give it all you've got on the suck and it's
a little
just
bit touch,
air.
A little bit of touch of tongue.
What a tease, man. You have to work so hard for that.
I like peanut butter and oatmeal.
Yeah, oatmeal. Okay. Oatmeal is a good one here. Number 10 is peanut butter drizzled popcorn. I don't think I've ever had peanut butter popcorn.
That should have been not in top 10.
Not in the top 10? You're on. Are you a popcorn
guy? It's good.
Guy?
You know, it's awesome, but I wouldn't put it in the top 10.
I tell you what, I'm weird with popcorn because I don't like it. I don't like overly buttered.
Mm-hmm.
Overly buttered. I can't stand it overly buttered.
Nine.
It's soggy.
Nine is just replace your butter and just use peanut butter.
On toast?
It's like nut butter.
I like it on toast, peanut butter on toast.
Peanut butter on toast is delicious.
Yeah.
But like this is for basically anything. Like if you want to use butter on your popcorn, your cupcakes, your pancakes in place of butter.
Yeah, put it on top of your eggs sometimes, your scrambled eggs. You did that butter. When you want to get the protein packs.
Wow, but peanut butter?
Uh-huh, put it on the eggs, man.
Oh, man, that's a good idea.
That's weed. That's weed.
This would be a good combo together. Sometimes it is.
Lucius is standing there looking at a skillet like, that Jiffy would look really good on that omelet right now.
I need more protein, man. I'm going to figure this out.
A peanut butter and egg sandwich.
Yeah.
8 is a peanut butter milkshake.
Okay. You guys got me figured it out. Yeah.
7 are your smoothies, Lucius.
Yeah.
6 is chocolate and peanut butter.
However you want to do it. Peanut butter cup. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Cold, too. Put it in the freezer for a while.
Bingo. Ooh.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah. 5 is oatmeal. Crush that one, Lucius.
Yeah. Wow.
4 is just go straight from the jar.
Yes.
Peanut butter straight from the jar.
Yes.
Got some Viking in you if you're doing that.
3 is...
You're damn right we do.
Yeah. Hey, we are Vikings. 3 is you blend it with the sauce, and this would be like for your pastas, your Thai dishes.
Yeah, Thai dish.
2 is peanut butter and fruit. So we got a lot of acai bowls that are being texted in. I guess that would be similar to that.
Yeah, I mean, peanut butter on a banana, peanut butter, you take an apple, dip it in peanut butter.
With a Honeycrisp apple from the 214. Are we still talking about straws? We got a text in about that. Peanut butter and crackers. Nilla wafers from the 214. 972 said peanut butter on a burger.
Wow.
Sneaky good.
Yeah, like at a Son of a Butcher, you can get the PB&J slider.
Okay.
Hey, what did Elvis used to eat? Didn't
banana. Peanut butter banana.
Peanut butter with some bacon in there?
Fried banana, yep. A little bacon in there.
That sounds
damn
good. That sounds damn
good. It's like breakfast.
Jam them guts up, bro.
It's crazy.
Well, he did pass on the toilet, right?
Yeah. The
that's why.
The drugs and the peanut butter.
That's a real hound doggy.
What a way to go. And fall over.
Oh, 214, best way to eat peanut butter, hands down. Fresh hot tortilla, homemade. Put the peanut butter on it. right when it's fresh out of the pan. Oh, baby. That's the way to do it. But number one is the peanut butter on toast, Lucius. That's the best way to eat your peanut butter, according to this list. So happy National Peanut Butter Day. Unless, of course, you have a peanut allergy, in which case I apologize. That really, really sucks.
Kick rocks.
That stinks. All right, come on.
214 says, I flipped the radio on for some sports updates on my way home, but all I usually hear is a bunch of dudes that sound fat ranking food.
That's fair. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Feel free to invite us to dinner sometime. We'll show you how fat we are.
We do all have fat man voices.
Yeah, I mean, you take a seat, barbecue. We'll go eat it with you.
And, you know, hey.
And we might talk sports with you.
Maybe a little sprinkle of sports. I'll tell you what, we'll get
105 through the food.
105 through the food or the phone. What do we got next? Football's finest?
Yes, we have good news for this week's viewing experience, and we ponder if this Dick Fangio trend will continue. Next in the nation.